The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'll say a few words about the meditation, and as we move for this week into the third foundation of mindfulness, we began with the body and the breath and ways of looking at the body that are helpful, that lead to ease, that lead to happiness, rather than ways that lead to stress and to suffering. So, and from the body, we move to this dimension of experience, which is called the feelings, or feeling tone. It's very simply, in each moment of experience, there is a pleasant or unpleasant, or neither, or in between, quality or tone to the feeling, to the experience. Why do we look at that? Well, it turns out that when we've become preoccupied or lost or caught up in some kind of suffering, some kind of difficulty, some kind of mind state that's distressing, we've already reacted to something that's much simpler. And part of that is the pleasant and the unpleasant. So it's said that pleasant experiences condition craving, condition wanting. Unpleasant conditions aversion. You know, it's unpleasant, we don't like it, and we don't want it. And so this is just, you know, according to this Buddhist conception of the mind, this is universal. Every mind, every human consciousness is just always experiencing pleasant and unpleasant, and usually reacting to them without realizing it. So bringing mindfulness to this sort of basic level, you know, this fundamental level of experience can be very, very helpful, very skillful. One way it's skillful is that it's simplifying and it's grounding. If there's some strong emotion that has a lot of confusion and complexity, just to be able to step back and be with the unpleasantness of that can be very helpful. It cuts through a lot of the thinking, a lot of the stories around things. In the same way, just to be with noticing the pleasantness of something and to be with the pleasantness of it, sometimes that's enough. We don't need to continue on into wanting and wanting another one and another one and another one. I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but in the morning when I make coffee and I like to grind the coffee beans, and then I bring them over, the freshly ground beans to my kids to smell. I guess I'm looking forward to having coffee with them when they get older. But they're only 3 years old and 1 year old. But they love it, and they just, you know, especially my 1.5-year-old, it's like, Okay, that's enough. Again. She just wants to. You know, there's something about a pleasant experience, a pleasant sensation, that we want it to continue. We want it to extend. You know, and that's just the way we're built. In the same way with something that's unpleasant, it's just, we just want it to stop. We want it to get away from it. So bringing our mindfulness to this level, this basic level of experience, can be very, very helpful. When we're driving in traffic, just, you know, noticing the unpleasantness and being able to be with that, holding that unpleasantness, can cut through maybe some of the stories or some of the, oh no, I'm going to be late and this and that. So a big part of the value of meditation, of sitting still in a somewhat unnatural way, is developing this capacity to be with what's unpleasant, to be with what's difficult. You know, it's coming back to the same idea of the container. When our container is very small, you know, this analogy of if you take a drop of dye and you drop it into a small glass, it immediately colors the colors the water. You know, it immediately affects the state of the water there. If you take that same dye of water, drop of water, of red water, and you drop it in the Pacific Ocean, you know, it's going to have a different effect. Just, you know. So this is, in a way, this analogy of the container is our mind, is our mind state. And that's moving into this third foundation of mindfulness, third way, which is usually translated as mind, or mind state, or mental state. The Pali word is citta, which is usually translated as mind or heart, or it probably has the meaning of both heart and mind. So this is mindfulness of mind, being mindfulness of the mind state itself. And I think it can be very helpful to think of that mind state as a container, as the container for our experience. When our container is very small, when the mind is irritated and contracted and dark, and then, you know, its capacity to hold something that's unpleasant, that to hold something that's difficult, is very small. Its capacity is low. You know, and we know this. We know that when we are agitated and upset, or we've just got some difficult news, everything, you know, ruffles us. Everything impinges on our on the mind. Whereas when the mind is, when we're in a good mood, when we're relaxed, not in a rush, the mind is balanced, there's much more patience, there's more capacity. It's like, okay, you want to go in front of me, go ahead. You know, driving, it's, you know, we're more like the ocean rather than like this, you know, little teaspoon or something, a little glass. So the mind state, this is something that can be very easy to overlook. You know, the line that often comes up around this is, a fish doesn't notice the water that it swims in. You know, we don't notice this. It's like the space in the room. Usually we're so focused on the things in the room, we don't notice the space. We don't notice the quality of the air, the space, the light. You know, it takes a certain kind of shift. And so in a way, the mind state is very easy to overlook if we're so focused on the contents of our experience. But if we don't notice the mind state, first of all, we, especially if we don't notice a difficult mind state, in a way we're at its mercy. You know, we're already going to be reacting out of that mind state. You know, so if there's a gloomy or an angry state of mind, and we're not aware of that, we're not taking that into account, it's very easy for that to come back out into the world through our thinking, through our speech, through our actions, as suffering, you know, as anger that we put out there. The mind state flavors, colors, conditions our experience. It conditions what we notice. It conditions our perception. There's a way almost that the mind state gives birth to the thoughts, gives birth to the perceptions. It's like the soil, in a way. So just that shift of checking in, you know, is the mind calm or is it agitated? What's the energetic quality? What's the overall feeling? What's the mood right now? It can be very, very helpful. So sometimes it's the terrain, it's the soil, it's the, you know, it's like the atmosphere, it's the mood. Even in meditation, we can be so focused on, say, staying with the breath, you know, being with the breath, being with each breath, or coming back to the body, or coming back. We don't notice that there's a lot of wanting in the mind, maybe. Maybe there's wanting to get something, there's wanting to keep something if we have a feeling of calm. So just noticing that attitude, noticing the relationship. So sometimes we say that in any moment of experience, there's only two things that are happening. There's what's happening, and then there's how we're relating, the relationship. And so you could think about this relationship, this relating, is the mind state. And so just something to notice, something to, you know, it's this how am I with this experience? How am I holding it? Is there grasping? Is there clinging? Is there aversion? Is there pushing it away? The third of these is delusion or confusion, which in a way is the most difficult one to notice, because the mind is confused. The mind is spacey. It has that. But just noticing that, is there a kind of feeling, I don't know what's going on right now, a lack of clarity? So just to say a few words about how to practice with mind states, with these mind states. You know, in the most simple way, just checking in. It's like just this, sometimes I just imagine turning the awareness around from looking at what's out there, you know, the breath or sounds or something, just turning it around and noticing. And sometimes it's very clear, oh, there's a lot of fear in the mind right now, and that's coloring what I'm noticing. Or there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of happiness, there's a lot of the sense of well-being. Beautiful, just noticing that. One of the ways we can notice the mind state is through what the mind state produces, what the mind state produces. The thoughts that come up, a depressed mind will think certain kinds of thoughts. So it may not be so easy to tune into something so abstract as a mind state in any particular moment, but we can notice the kinds of thoughts we're having. In the same way, the mind state is often expressed in the body, you know, especially when the mind state is characterized by an emotion. It seems like in the early Buddhist teachings, the texts that go back to the time of the Buddha, there's no particular word for emotion. There's no particular, maybe this mind state is something that comes close to emotion. Certainly, a mind state can be an emotion. Emotion can be a mind state. Fear, gladness, anxiety, frustration, joy. These can all be mind states. And then the difference between an emotion and a mind state is the mind state can also be something much more subtle, much more simple. You know, boredom, for example. Maybe not quite an emotion, but a mind state. So when we're working with emotions, and especially difficult emotions, it can be very, very helpful and very skillful to notice them, to find their expression in the body. You know, usually, almost always, an emotion has some energetic component, it has some, certainly a cognitive component, some story, but it also has a physical component. You know, and it can be simplifying, and it's like the handle of a cup, you know, where the cup is, there's a very hot liquid in it, holding it by the handle. So when there's an emotion that's feels strong or even overpowering, some grief, sadness, or frustration, or shame, or something. It's like dropping out of the story, whatever we think it's about, and simply finding it in the body. You know, it might be some sense of heaviness in the body, or a tightness, or an energy. And then it's like we're, in a way, we're bringing in this mindfulness of the body, but in this very particular way, we're staying with those sensations, just however they are, just with a lot of care, a lot of compassion, just meeting them, you know, meeting the fear, meeting the sadness, the impatience, you know, whatever it is. Many people find that there can be something very healing about mindfulness and awareness when brought to meet difficult emotions, you know, without any sense of needing to understand them, to fix them, to change them. It's just simply letting the healing power of awareness of mindfulness, hold it, hold whatever is there. To learn these ways of being with difficult emotions in ways that's helpful, that's healing, that's very, very skillful practice, very a valuable practice. So again, this is part of this working with mind states, working with the quality of the mind, all the different moods that the mind cycles through. So it's said in each moment of our experience, there is a mind state. There is, and it changes, so working with it through the body, noticing it through the thoughts that come through, and really noticing. Part of this whole practice is almost in a way it's deconstructing our experience. It's noticing the way causes and conditions come together to produce our experience. And so just noticing the way that any particular mind state colors the moment for us. It colors our experience. And that can help with this process of disidentifying with something. Maybe even more so than the first two foundations of mindfulness, mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the pleasant or painful feeling. It's very, very easy to identify with a mind state. The mind is angry. There's anger in the mind, and that says something about me. That's my anger. That's my thing. Or there's depression, or there's a sadness and depression in the mind. That says something about me. That's who I am. Or that's, it's so easy to identify with mind states. And so part of the Buddha's teaching is that these mind states are not, they're not us. We don't, they're not who we are. We have very little control over them, actually. They're more like the weather. So just being able to shift into noticing a mind state is a way of being free from it. And we notice the mind is this way. And from the vantage point of mindfulness, we're free of it. We're not caught in it. We're not, we're just noticing it as another phenomena that's impermanent, that's going to come and go. So it can take away the solidity, especially with difficult mind states, depressed mind states or anger. They tend to solidify things, It's always going to be this way, or it's something that's heavy and solid. And just this, to see something clearly is to be free. Be free from it in that moment. You see it clearly, and then you can just, it opens up this space that, which makes it possible to respond in a skillful way. If there's no space, we're just reacting out of mind states without realizing it. And then again, it comes back to this container. The mind state, the way of relating is this container, which in every moment we shape. So, we just notice, is the container very small right now? Or is it more spacious? And I talked a lot about these difficult mind states or challenging mind states, but also just to remember that there are beautiful mind states, there are happy mind states, and this is a lot of what we're doing in meditation practice, is cultivating skillful, helpful, beautiful states of mind. You know, mindfulness itself is a mind state. Calmness, concentration, undistractedness. If you've ever done loving kindness meditation, metta, called metta or compassion meditation, these are mind states, you know. So we can consciously cultivate beautiful mind states. One of my teachers once said something that was very helpful. She said, when the mind is caught or contracted or, you know, in a difficult space, put something beautiful into your mind. You know, put something beautiful into your mind. It could be an image of something beautiful. It could be, you know, just cultivating some wish for well-being for yourself, for others, some wish for ease, or some thought of generosity, or something that's, you know, just love, just, you know, just. And it's quite amazing how the mind can shift. The mind is malleable. And so a big part of this practice is not only working with difficult mind states, but consciously cultivating, you know, the beautiful, cultivating the soil. You know, if you're a gardener, you know that the quality of the soil, taking care of the soil, is one of the most important things. We can't, you know, pull up a flower and expect it to grow faster. But we can really enrich the soil. And that is what enables, you know, all the beautiful qualities, the beautiful thoughts, the beautiful emotions to flower, you know. It all comes from the mind. It comes from the mind state. Maybe that's enough to give a, you know, just give a sense of what this is and how to practice with it. One of the ways I often think about it is it's almost like stepping back, zooming out, and just including the quality of the mind, including the mind state in our awareness, rather than just being focused on what we're doing, including this, the relationship, how we're relating. Does anyone have any questions about this or experience of the meditation today, how it was to practice with this? Something that's not clear.
Just trying to differentiate between the feeling tone and the mind state. How do you do that?
It's a great question. Just to repeat the question for the how to differentiate. Between the feeling tone, the second foundation of mindfulness, and then the mind state. They can be close because a mind state will have a feeling tone to it. So any mind state will also be experienced as either pleasant or unpleasant or in between. For one thing, the feeling tone, the pleasant or unpleasant, is even more basic in a way. It is, the feeling tone also includes the body. So it includes physical sensations, all the five senses and the mind. You know, any thoughts or moods or emotions, they would all have a feeling tone. So in a way, it's almost like, just stepping back for a second, each of these foundations of mindfulness are like ways of categorizing experience, ways of slicing experience, and they do overlap, they can overlap. So the feeling tone, the pleasant or unpleasant, is one, it's like one slice, one filter. And then the mind state is another way of slicing experience, another way of noticing experience, which is, it's mental, it's not physical, it's mental. And it's sometimes it's called mental state. And it's it includes emotion, it can include emotion, or it can be something a little even more simple than that, like is the mind contracted or expansive? You know, that's not quite a feeling tone. It's, you know, a contracted mind usually experiences unpleasant. So it's associated with a feeling tone, but it's slightly different. It's noticing something different. I think about the mind state as like the mood. And so a mood is something a little bit more involved than just that bare pleasant or unpleasant. You know, I don't know if that helps. Yeah, so just to repeat the question, how to step outside of the mind state and see it and practice with it and disidentify with it. Is that basically?
Yes, and what to do, how to do that, and how to turn yourself around rather than being part of it, put yourself outside of it and look at it.
Yeah. It's a great question because as we go through these four foundations of mindfulness, they're not only are they more, I mean, they're basically getting more and more subtle and more difficult, and the subtlety is around they're more difficult to notice and kind of step outside of and see. And mind state is it's the perfect example of the fish doesn't notice the water. We don't notice, you know, the mind state is producing our experience. It's conditioning our experience. So in a way, you know, technically to say, it's sort of impossible to fully step outside of a mind state because, you know, it's part of what's conditioning perception. And so we're working with perception. Within that, the way of, you know, it really is developing this capacity for mindfulness itself. Mindfulness itself as a quality is independent of the mind state. Yeah.
I heard you say hold it with care. There's a fine line between that.
Yeah. So with just that understanding that a moment of mindfulness, a moment of seeing something, whatever it is, including a mind state, is a moment that's free of the mind state. You know, if I'm caught up in anger, and then in a moment I notice, wow, I'm really angry with that, you know. That moment of seeing itself is said to be a moment without anger. You know, it's seeing the anger, But what sees the anger itself is not angry. So just understanding that the more, so bringing that mindfulness to note, so we're sort of objectifying this, what feels very subjective, like the mind state. And we begin to objectify it. And then there are different strategies for doing that. To not react, like as you said, to not, to act out of the anger is, it can be very, very helpful to feel it, to find it in the body. It's just one way of, there's anger in the system and it's expressing this way and I'm feeling it, And so when we're feeling it and noticing it in the body, again, these are moments, and we're in and out. It's not like we're totally free of it. But there are moments there that we're popping out of the mind state and we're noticing it. So, to feel what anger is like, it may be if the face gets flushed or the energy. You just being with the experience on an energetic level is, we've shifted out of the story and what's made us angry. So that's one way of, but it's really, it's an art of, in any particular situation, there'll be something that's skillful in doing, maybe, that we can access. Often, if it's a mind state that's very much caught up in desire, it can be very helpful to tune into the feeling tone, the pleasant and unpleasant. To simply notice, this is really pleasant, whether it's like a fantasy of something. Oh, to get out of the content of the desire and notice the pleasant quality to it. This is really pleasant. And when we can shift into the pleasant, that level of pleasant and unpleasant, we can almost start to see, oh, maybe I started thinking about this because my knee is really hurting right now, and that's unpleasant. And I replaced what's unpleasant with something that's pleasant. Or, I just had a really, painful argument with someone, but I notice I immediately go for the fridge and replace those painful feelings with something that's pleasant. So, we start to see how our experience operates. So working with it in the body is very helpful. Sometimes it's that it's just waiting for that mind state to almost, or the emotion to almost settle a little bit more. So sometimes it's not possible. But I don't know if that.
That's when I got out of it, like diffusing it a
bit. Yeah.
Just going through the process. Yeah. Lessons it.
Yeah.
And then on to something else.
Yeah, and it will change. It will change. The often strong emotions have a kind of arc. It has a life, and they'll kind of reach a peak, and then it will kind of, So, at whatever point in the cycle that we notice, this is valuable. In the text it says, if you can just be with something that's unpleasant at the level of unpleasantness, you won't spin out into emotions and blah, 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 blah. Most of the time, we're noticing it after there's already been some reaction to pleasant and unpleasant. But that's fine. That's totally fine. Wherever we notice, because in any moment there is pleasant or unpleasant. In any moment there is a mind state. So just noticing it wherever we notice it is valuable, is helpful. So, okay. So thank you very much. Yeah. Wish you all beautiful mind states.